WNTN, home of Greek and Echoes, the longest-running Greek-American program in the country.
Well, it is 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and once again, good morning, Kalimera. You are tuned to Greek and Echoes. It is the seventh day in November of our calendar year 2023. Teddy Dimitriadis and Petro Vanvaka is here, and we are delighted. Very spontaneous, very last minute, and I want to thank David. David Palaiologos joins us on the telephone, and there is certainly an awful lot to talk about. I made a post earlier, and I said that, you know, we are just less than a year away, the race to the White House for 2024. So what's trending? What's a lot's been in the news these last several, just 24-hour period. So, David, good morning. And Petro here as well, so
morning,
thanks for
David.
Spending some time with us.
Good morning. Good morning, Teddy. Good morning, Petro. How are we all doing?
Doing great. Nice to hear your voice.
As well. Yeah. You caught me. You really thread the needle. Today is Election Day in Massachusetts.
That's right, so the local municipalities.
You got a lot of city elections. I've got a couple clients. I got one in Quincy and one in Springfield. And so we'll see how they turn out.
That's terrific. Well,
good luck. Good luck to you and to them.
Yeah. So listen, David, what is going on in, you know, just so much. The last 24 hours, you know, basically nobody is happy with either of the candidates, or if they are, it's, you know, a lot of Trump momentum, but a lot of just so much confusion going on. I heard something that, you know, 5 out of 6 Americans would just, you know, like to see two other candidates. And it's getting to the point that, you know, personally, I'm like, you know, come on. Can't we get two candidates who want to work, you know, unilaterally and send that message out to their constituents? You know, is it that difficult? Evidently it is.
Yeah, so you know, I've actually interviewed on this, and what's happened is you've got the public is making their outcry for change and new candidates, and you've got the Democratic and Republican parties that are basically ignoring the public, and they're basically saying, "Too bad, these are your choices," and. What's the American public's response going to be to that? Well, they could not vote. They could be forced once again into picking Trump or Biden, or they could vote third party. So, and we don't really know, you know, today what those choices are going to be. A lot will unfold. But, you know, there's the old saying, a lot has changed, but a lot has stayed the same. And since we last talked, you're right. There's been a ton of news stories and different things coming out, but the race is still the same. Trump is way ahead, and you've got a big drop-off, and then you've got, you know, a second tier of DeSantis and Nikki Haley. And that's where it's been.
Yeah, but I mean, but it seems like, the, you know, with Pence last week dropping out, I have a sense like after tomorrow's debate, if you have one of those two, Nikki Haley or DeSantis, moving ahead of the other one, those guys with like the one digit, like, you know, the polling in the single digits, they might take Pence's lead and start, like, you know, opening up that space. You know, because Nikki Haley has been the last 2 or 3 weeks, whether it's like, you know, on Meet the Press or the other like Sunday shows, she seems to be like coming on. And then you have this Gaza situation, and this is her forte because she was in the UN kind of a thing. So I think there might be some kind of a crack there that, you know, we might see some change. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it's possible, you know, but there's a little bit of a dilemma, and this is probably why DeSantis' pack has gone negative. I don't know if you've seen the ads. They're everywhere,
yeah.
But they're, you know, going negative on Nikki Haley. He sees her as a big threat. But here's the statistical dilemma. When those other candidates drop out, like Pence and, let's say Scott drops out and Christie, Haley benefits directly from them dropping out. So that's not good news for DeSantis.
Yeah.
But if Trump drops, Haley doesn't benefit. DeSantis does.
Yeah.
So what you'd need is you'd need them, you know, even though they're fighting with each other, you'd need them both on a ticket like right now. either DeSantis Haley or Haley DeSantis. That way, if the other candidates drop off, the ticket would benefit, and if Trump dropped, the ticket would benefit. Yeah. But that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, well, not in the dynamic right now, right?
So, right.
Like, but it's like, it seems like, you know, a month in political time is a long time, because I'm just saying, like, you know, a month ago when you have, like, almost to the day when you have that attack on Gaza, on Israel, and then how that the world has changed in a month, and on the Democratic side, because it just seems like a president who's sort of, like, married to the Netanyahu policy, even though he was apart from it, he seems to be trapped by that policy right now, mm-hmm. in the right and the left of the Democratic Party. So you're seeing movement there in some ways, or the whispers of it. I don't know if you see any movement from a polling perspective.
Yeah, we are seeing it, and there's been a fallout of younger voters who are a layup for any Democratic candidate, younger voters, because, you know, Democrats are more aligned with younger voters on, you know, opioids and gun control and climate change and all social issues. But now we're seeing that those young voters are either moving off of Biden or, you know, maybe even not necessarily supporting Trump, although some have moved to Trump. But, you know, the third party candidate option, which any vote not for Biden among young voters is really a vote for Trump, because, you know, he needs like a 20-point margin to win that demographic. And you're seeing that demographic close.
Yeah.
David, do we even have any other Democratic candidate who has, you know, other than Biden, that's, you know, even worth mentioning at this point?
Well, I mean, Gavin Newsom is traveled overseas. He's the governor of California. He's very much a young, sort of charming Democratic candidate from a big state, obviously. You know,
so what is it about his candidacy that is, you know, really not even showing, you know, his percentages?
Well, he's not an official candidate. Yeah. You know, he's been kind of running as like a stealth Democratic leader.
Maybe Plan B for the Democrats.
Right, yeah. Right. He wants to be positioned as a Plan B because Democrats on the inside don't want to run Kamala Harris because her polling numbers are lower than Biden's, which are pretty low.
Well, that would make sense to me that that's the only logical choice just based on health.
Yeah, well,
I mean
it's
California governors really don't do that well. I mean, you have to go back to Ronald Reagan.
Terry Brown.
Yep.
No, but I mean, well, what about somebody like Amy Klobuchar?
Yeah, I like her. I like her. You know,
we met her 4 years ago. Remember that? Didn't we meet Amy?
Yes.
In New Hampshire. Is her name surfacing again?
I think because she was there in the 4 years ago, probably.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, anybody has come out.
Yeah, I haven't. Right. It's the first time I've heard her name in 3 years. Yeah.
But, I mean, let's be realistic. We're 9 weeks from Iowa. And if you take out Thanksgiving and you take out Christmas and the other holidays, you take out New Year's, you're there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even 9 full weeks of fundraising and campaigning. If you take out the holidays, it's probably 7. And then we're not, you know, Iowans go and they caucus. So there is a, you know, it is a long time, you know, a month is a long time in politics, but also it's moving really quickly too. Mm-hmm. And the door is closing on an alternative candidate once the caucuses start.
And how much of that, you know, that the front line, the front page of the New York Times on Sunday, you know, that 5 out of 6 swing states going to Trump, I mean, how much of an effect does that have, like, in the ripple effect in the polling right now and, like, you know, what people are looking at?
Yeah, so those polls were showing in a head-to-head matchup Trump beating Biden in those swing states. And I wrote, I did a Washington Examiner interview yesterday that was in the paper basically saying, look, we have to be careful with these one-on-one comparisons because there aren't going to be two choices. And for us to say that Trump is winning 5 of 6 swing states is probably not being authentic, because if you add in Cornel West and if you add in Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Biden could be winning some of these states. So we really, as researchers, we really need to replicate what the actual ballot's going to be. I don't believe in my heart of hearts that there's only going to be two choices. Like Teddy says, there will be other choices on the ballot. And the question is, will voters view that, you know, like an RFK, will they view that as a viable alternative or just a wasted vote? Most of the time, people never see a third-party candidate as being viable until this year, because they, you know, usually third-party candidates only end up getting 2 or 3% of the vote. Mm-hmm. You know, Kennedy's polling at 20% right now. So he's doing significantly higher than previous independents, recent independents.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to just one more question, kind of turn things around a little bit. I want to know about any kind of polls in the future, or have anything been held in regards to the United States citizen and their feelings about what's going on in the Gaza Strip, you know, in regards to, you know, obviously lives lost on both sides, but, you know, there's a lot going on worldwide, demonstrations from lots of people. Any general consensus about how the average American citizen feels about, you know, either side of this mess?
Yeah, so, and it is a mess. And, you know, if you're Republican or you're an independent, you're really hardline supportive of the pro-Israeli side. And a significant amount of Democrats, too. The problem in terms of how it affects our relations is the younger voters, many of whom, because we have Democratic congressmen and women who are out standing in the pro-Palestine rallies criticizing the U.S. and criticizing fellow Democrat Joe Biden. So young voters are the big question mark right now. If the Democrats can't reel back those Democratic the younger voters, it's going to be a real problem for President Biden. If you're a Democrat, you're probably thankful that this isn't happening, you know, next October rather than this October. Because if this had been happening, you know, a few days before the election next year and young voters dropped off, then Biden would lose. So at least Democrats have time to try and navigate the situation, hopefully defuse it so it doesn't get crazy. And but I mean, you know, it's almost like the Greeks and Turks. I mean, there are certain segments who would always take a hardline Greek versus Turk position, and others would say Turks versus Greek. No matter how much information you gave them, how much historical context you gave them, they're going to fall back on those predisposed biases. And this is the same thing here. So it's really a tough situation to navigate.
Now, can I just throw one more monkey wrench in the mix here, and
sure.
Talk about, you know, like we have the MAGA-dominated Congress right now setting the agenda with Mike Johnson. I mean, how much of an effect does that have, the election of the Speaker of the House now, who's going to be setting the agenda? I mean, how much of that's going to affect the presidential race?
Yeah, I think it might have an impact, although presidential races really are about the individuals, not really, less about the Congress. But, you know, if they make some poor decisions or they draw a line in the sand on, you know, the debt ceiling situation that's coming up, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem. I mean, in today's elections, you've got abortion questions on the Ohio ballot, the Virginia ballot, and other ballots. That, you know, how well those pro-choice ballot questions do.
Will those probably, binding, David, or non-binding? Are those binding?
Well, in Ohio's a constitutional amendment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we haven't done any recent polling. We did a poll a couple months ago, way back when it was just whether or not the voting limit was to be changed, and there was a significant amount of pro-choice support in Ohio, which is really a red state now, and you know, it was like mid-high 50s. So it'll be interesting to see if that question tonight prevails in the mid-high 50s. I think it wins. It may not get as high as mid-high 50s, but the polling was pretty pronounced, and that's a problem for Republicans. I mean, the whole issue of choice was a deal breaker in 2022 because independent women broke from independent men who were voting Republican, and independent women voted for Democratic candidates for Senate and Congress. So you're potentially, you know, that's an issue that could surface and become a lifesaver for Biden and the Democrats next year.
So go to the well again. 2 years from now with the same issue.
I don't think it'll have the same potency because you've got the war, you've got the economy, inflation's high, and you know, immigration and crime and so on. But it's niche issues that win some of these swing states, and that could be an issue that picks off a state for Democrats.
All right, we'll wrap this up with one final question, David. It is voting day here in Massachusetts for municipalities. Is there anything that we should be aware of on that? Any close elections that have any significance to the average listener here?
Well, you've got listeners all over the world, so I mean, they're probably not tuned into, like, Boston doesn't have a mayor's race. They have city council races, a lot of internal politics. I've got a candidate in Springfield who's the mayor of Springfield, Dominic Sarno.
Okay, so mayoral.
Yeah, elections. He's a mayoral candidate. He should be okay. And then I've got the mayor of Quincy, Tom Koch, who's also running for re-election. So fingers crossed. We'll see what happens.
When all else fails, fingers crossed.
That's it. I see the Coke signs all over Quincy. I drive through every day. So good luck to your candidates. That's terrific.
Thank you.
That's David. David Palaiologos, Suffolk University Political Research Center, and good friend and often contributing to us here on Grecian Echoes. David, say hi to Gail, the boys. Have a great day, and θα τα πούμε σύντομα. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, little music. We'll be back. Manny Frangidakis, 12 Points Wealth Management.